on the Mishnah. We are starting the Mishnah inside the Vav Amud Beis. And the next, these four blot, which we're actually going to do contiguously, that is the plan. I'm not going to do every single piece right now. First, I want to just get through the Gemaras. Then, with sort of Rashi, I'm going to mention Sertosim. As we do pieces within Sadi Ches and Eltzor, we have to go back and we'll have to do some of the longer Tosfosim. Now, you see the Tosfos in the bottom at Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph? That's not such a long Tosfos, Shui. Come on. But it's relatively long. It's not a hard Tosfos, by the way. It's a great Tosfos to do. It's about one issue. I could sum up the Tosfos in literally a sentence. Min bimino, Rashi says, Oseh Rimashu, like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos says, Batel B'shishim. There you go. Because what Rishonim, I'm going to make fun of you now. You learned in Gush, so all they care about is Sfaras there. But Rishonim actually cared about texts and sugyos, so they have to do arithmetic of adding up. Well, which does this sugya assume? Can I prove how we possibly based upon this, that, the other thing? So that's what Rishonim did for their job. Rishonim didn't have Rechaim. They weren't zochet to that. So they actually had to do learning. So anyway. So that's what Tosfos is about. He's got to go through the rise from different sugyos, because Rashi, not here, Rashi... on Koftes Amar Aleph, at the end of a sugya there, which is one of the jumping points Rashi wants to use to prove that Mimimino is Osama Bashahu. So there Rashi makes the claim, Tosfos goes after Rashi here. There are a lot of basic things about Kalei HaPsach. There's important discussion, Chametz BePesach, the Shita Vermein Tam and the Shiltos. So we will, at some point, as we do inside the Ches, read this, but I put this Tosfos in brackets for you because I want you to get through the Gemara. So I figure if you give you this Tosfos, it's going to take you an entire day to do it. So that's what I'm going to try. I've never been disciplined in the past, but in Bikias, I'm going to try to engage in Tzimtzum and really stick to just so you can at least have done the Gemara and Rashi and these four blot, because that's the main piece that you need for doing Ta'aruvos, right? You're going to need pieces here and pieces there. Another several blot, we'll do them as they come up. But that's really, in terms of the Gemaras, that's what we have to do first. So the Mishnah says the following, Yerech Shal Nisbasha Bagir HaNoshe, Im Yeshba Beno Sein Tam HaRezo Asura. So the Mishnah says you take a hindquarters, you cook it with the Gira Nasha still in it. So if it has Nesinas Tam, if the Gira Nasha flavors the Yerech, then it's Asur. If not, then it's permitted. Now, a central question that we shall not grapple with here, this Mishnah would appear to be assuming that Yesh Begin and Bino Sein Tam, that the sinewy parts of the animal have the capacity to contribute real flavor, let's say, to the meat. But there is a Shita that says Ein Begin and Bino Sein Tam, and that's the way we paskin. So the question then is this Mishnah relevant at all? So there is a Gemara earlier in the Perek that says that there's a kind of fat that's around the Gira Nasha. It's a Shuman. It's not Chelev. Right? In an animal, there are two kinds of fats, Chelev and Shuman. To the best of my knowledge, which is very limited, there is no biological, physiological difference between Chelev and Shuman per se. Chelev is defined as those parts of the carbon that the animal that the Torah designates as Chelev and are brought on the Mizbeach. It is determined by specific places in the body. It's a Chelev, a Machaseh, a Kerev. That matter if their seres hakaved is fat or that's just a piece of the liver. The klayos are not fat, but there's chaylev on top of them. There's only one item, if any of you have been doing daf recently in this past week, it came up. There's only one item of chaylev in the animal that's not chaylev, but it's fat that's brought as a carbon, but it doesn't have the status of chaylev by chulin, and that's the alya, the tail fat of the sheep, which is it's brought only from a sheep, not from an ox or a goat, is burned on the Mizbeach as part of the chalavim, but it doesn't have the status of chelev by chulin. By chulin, you're allowed to eat the alya. Of a sheep, you can eat the alya. So around the Gid Hanasha, there apparently is some shuman, there is some type of fat, which should be mutter, but the Gemara says that shuman shel Gid Hanasha is mutter, ava Yisrael kidoshim heim, v'nahagu bo iser. Right? It's mutter al pidin Torah, but Minag Yisrael was not to eat that shuman. So the question then is, what is the effect of that shuman if you cooked the hindquarters and you didn't remove the Gid Hanasha? So what impact does that shuman have upon it? So Tosos, there are two deis, I think, in Tosos and the Machlokas HaRishonim, whether shuman shel Gid can aser at all. One shita, which I believe we paskin like, says, shuman shel, even though the Gid itself gives no flavor, the shuman does give flavor, and therefore if you cook the hindquarters with the Gid Hanasha intact, you have to be mevatel the time of the Shuman HaGid. And there's a Shita, however, amongst the Balei HaTosos, I forget, I think it's the Rivam. It's on Tzadi Zayin Aleph Dibar Maschel Shani, which I don't think I asked you to look at all, where he claims that since the Gid HaNoshe is incapable of giving flavor into the yerech, since the shuman is only a minag because of the gid, we don't view its flavor as any stronger than that of the gid, and therefore the shuman of the gid hanasha, you can't eat it in itself when it's be'en, but you can, but it doesn't actually asa things. And that may, I don't know if that sounds strange to you or not, but that concept, and I hopefully we'll get to it later today, is actually a really, really important concept within Taruvos. The idea of if the original Isser can't flavor something, then it's sort of derivatives also, even if they physically can flavor it, don't make things usser.
I'll give you the example already. I would have maybe done this later. Just a side statement. Is Tosfos a perush on the Gemara or a work of halacha? What do you normally think? You think of it as a perush on the Gemara. And I'm not denying that component. We also tend to bifurcate. You think you either write a perush on the Gemara or you write a sefer halacha. If you think about the model of the Rif and the Rush most clearly, that's obviously not true. There's no need to bifurcate, right? It's a perush on not every line of the Gemara, but you use the Gemara as your template. You add in what you need to add in, and then you engage in halachic discussion when necessary. The Rif, not as much as the Rush. He's earlier, and the Rif is less material. The Rush is more expansive. The two do not have to be mutually exclusive, but we tend to think, both because there is certainly material that would probably only be construed as a perush on the Gemara, legitimately so, it's a legitimate view, and because of the way we study Tosfos, there's a tendency to not see Tosfos as a sefer halacha. But when you read Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and when you read Tosfos in Chulin, on the issues that were everyday halacha l'maisa, you can see that always sitting in the background of their minds is always the issues of halacha. That drives everything. It drives how they interpret the Gemara. Because if the minog of the community is to do X, the Gemara is going to be reread in light of that particular practice. The issue that came up was the following. And so I assume you've already read the beginning of the Gemara, so I will just cut to the chase in Tosos. It's the bottom Tosos, Dibra Maskel, Afida Me Rosh Azneu. And by the way, when you start the Tosos, Tosos just talks about which way the ear was, up or down. And Tosos says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether the ear's at the bottom and the fat percolates down, or the ear's on top when you're roasting it and the fat percolates up. Tosos says the fat percolates. Then Tosos gets to what he's really interested in. That's not so much halach l'maisa. You don't normally roast the gedi. It might happen by accident, but you normally remove the halach. What happens? Now remember, a davar shamein, what happens when you have fat that's usser and you roast it? What happens?
Melts.
Oh, okay. Well, before we go there, if I have isser v'heter and I roast them together, how far does the isser get in the heter? When I have Isser v'heter and I cook them in a pot together and there's liquid, winds up liquid at the bottom, where does the Isser go? Where does it travel? Everywhere. When I roast things together, and even if they're touching, how far does the Isser go?
Can they klipa?
Or Tosis will actually say, can they netila? Okay, in other words, klipa, what? Yitolas makoma, right?
There's different ones like klipa.
Correct, so that's the klipa and netila. Those are the two things that are short of kulo. Our klipa, which if you want to remove a klipa, you literally take a peel and you scrape off the top. Netila, Tosfos mentions, kidei ove etzba, that remove the thickness of a finger. So that's what Sli Asr's one of those two. Okay. But if the thing that you roasted together with the kosher food is fat, or is fatty, what happens? Mifapea. We assume it percolates throughout. Good bekiyas to remember for later. The Rashba says it's bato b'shishim. In other words, if you roast this gedi with its chelad, and the chelad, it's a juicy gedi, it's not a gedi kachosh, it's not a scrawny little gedi, and you roast it with its fat, and the shishim in the meat connected the chelad, the Rashba says, some Rishonim say, it's bato. Other Rishonim say, no, you can't apply bittul, because it diffuses, but not necessarily evenly. That's the Ra'oz position, maybe the Ran. We'll see this again. I'm just throwing that at you now. But let's assume for the moment that it might be batel, it could be batel b'shishim.
Just out of curiosity, is that empirically true that it won't distribute evenly?
I don't know. I do know that when you have fat in the meat and you roast it together, it will permeate more probably than two things that are not fatty. I mean, that's why meat with marbleized fat is the best meat, and tastes the best. I don't know if it's good for you, right? Because the fat's diffused already and it diffuses further, so everything has the juicy taste, right? As opposed to if you take something where there's just fat on one side, it probably diffuses a little bit. It may not diffuse totally, whatever. I'm not a culinary expert. I sometimes, you may have seen, what was the term I used on the question sheet? I thought it was on this question sheet. What was my term? Halachic flavor chemistry.
Yes.
Right? I don't want to say flavor chemistry because I'm not making an empirical claim, but I call halachic flavor chemistry. Simon 105 is a ground zero for halachic flavor chemistry. So this was the issue that Tosfos grapples with. They would salt meat. Now, when you salt meat, the way you're supposed to salt it is on top of a kli minukav, on a kli with holes in it. So the blood, which through reverse osmosis, whatever it is drawn out by the salt. It then drips down, and it drips to the bottom of the kli through the holes and either on the ground or pools somewhere else. But sometimes things got plugged up, and the bottom of the meat would be sitting inside blood. Like the blood pools at the bottom, the meat is soaking in it, and it sits there long enough time that it's kavush. And the truth is, with the salt, you don't need 24 hours to be pickled. Right? In other words, what's the shear for kavush? We've learned a little bit about kavush, right? That kavush is kemavushal. If you soak something together, it's like mavushal. What's the shear? We say 24 hours, but that's in water, in plain liquids. In vinegar and salty water, it might be a shorter time. So the question is, what do you do with this particular meat, right? So the answer is they would take the meat, they would cut off the part that was stuck in the blood, and they would eat the rest of the meat. So Tosa says, but I don't understand. That meat on the bottom has fat in it. And so that fat becomes osur. And here I did a piece of information. Tosos' question is predicated upon the assumption, chaticha nases nevela. So what happens to the bottom piece of meat that's still in the blood? What happens? It's not just that you can't eat that bottom piece of the meat because it tastes of blood, but the entire piece that was stuck in the blood becomes nevela. It becomes osur. Included in that piece of meat that became osur is fat. Now, the fat in this salt context, when salting something is like what form of heat? Kemavushal, a kitzli. Kavush is kemavushal, that's on Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis, it was part of this Gemara. But maliach is kiroteach of tzli, is the Maskanas Gemara. So by tzli, what happens when you have a fat? It's like mubushal, it diffuses throughout. So now that I'm salting this piece of meat, and I have part of the bottom of the meat became nevela, now it has fat in it, and that fat should be able to spread and asa the rest of the piece. So there are three possible answers that Tosfos presents. One of them is, if you hold like Rabbeinu Ephraim that you don't say chaticha nasas nevela by anything but basa b'chalav, you don't have a question, right? Because the fat never becomes asur. It's only the blood that's asur, so whatever flavor of the fat you taste, that's not a problem, as long as you don't taste the blood in the upper part. And blood is not a davar shamin. Blood will not be mefapeah. Okay. But that says the question is not a question. A second teretz which Tosfos rejects is that you don't say chaticha nasas nevela. We will come back to this when we do the halacha. So you're hearing this the first time. Tosfos says you only say chaticha nasas nevela if it's the entire chaticha. Half a chaticha, you don't say chaticha nasas nevela. It's a very odd shita, but there's a reason. But okay. One side. The third teretz is Tosfos. What? He doesn't really explain why. We know the term is chaticha nasas nevela, it has to be the whole entity. I mean, I could give love this, right? That in other words, if you want to claim that this entity becomes new iser, it has to be the whole entity. It can't be half of it. It's not
rejected.
It's rejected. That teretz is rejected.
It hasn't been taken the time to explain it before rejecting it. Just angel
time. Okay, and then the third approach, which is the reason I mentioned this here, is Tosfos says that the rule of chaticha nasas nevela is that the original iser that makes things aser cannot asur any further than, in other words, the things that become asur because of the original isur cannot asur any further than the original isur would. And since the blood doesn't have the capacity to travel up and asur the rest of the meat, any cheva that goes up can't asur it either. And that's the principle that I'm mentioning, that I mention in this other position in Tosfos, that since the git itself cannot aser the erech. Why can't the gid aser the erech the way we paskin? Because there's no flavor in a gid. Therefore, the shuman of the gid, which is only aser because of gid, we also don't take that tam into consideration. Even though the shuman can physically flavor the erech, since the gid, which is the only reason we have the minog not to eat the shuman, can't flavor the erech, we're not concerned about the shuman either. We don't paskin that way. We paskin that the shuman shall gid, can aser the gid, but the shuman shel gid, by the way, is not a davar shamin. It's considered skinny fat. It's a scrawny fat. In other words, it's gidi kachosh. Okay, fine. CJ, had a question?
Yeah, if we say chaticha nasas nevela, then why is the entire thing nasas nevela? Why is it only the...
Oh, no. So the answer to that part of the question is that, at least initially, the blood only flavors the bottom part of the meat.
But if the bottom part of the meat comes
in the veil... So the presumption... This is the weakness in that shita, in the Rivam shita, which is, look, I'm pretty sure this is the case. If I have milk that falls onto a slice of meat, and I chop off half the meat, and the half of the meat I chop off never had any time of challah, that piece should be mutter. So, I'll tell you, by the way, one of the motivations for a shita, but it's not the only way of answering the question. I think Tosa's approach answers the question, too. You know, sometimes we say something is asr, could they klipa, could they netila? So I don't understand, why isn't that klipa asr the next klipa that it's touching? Right. And that turtles all the way down. Right? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Because it's silly. You know, it's a great thing. When I asr a klipa, there are two dry things, there's no liquid in between, but klipa to klipa to klipa, and then your piece is gone. So that's one of the Rivam wants to say, you don't say chanan, unless it's the entire chaticha. Until it flavors, the iser flavors the entire chaticha, you don't say chanan. But Tosa's answer will also work, which is, if the original iser couldn't go that far, then the klipa that was neser, because the original iser, also we don't pay attention how far that goes. Okay. And we will come back to that, but that was the real issue. I think I gave you Tosa's Dibur Maskal Filo, or at least in brackets. Tosa's first talks about which way the gdi was, upside or upside down or downside up. Which is the same thing. Upside up or upside down? You ever say, your shirt, your shirt is inside out, so what do you want it to be? Outside in? No.
Inside in.
Inside out is the same thing as outside in. You want your shirt to be inside inside or outside outside. So anyway, the Rosh HaGedi, think about that one, Trey. The Rosh HaGedi, whether the Ozen is on top or the Ozen is on bottom, Tosa says it makes no difference. But then he gets into the question of, what do you do with Mefapea by Dam and the Chelam in the bottom piece of the meat? That's what really interested Tosis. And he gives, quotes us three Teirutzim. Either you don't hold of Chanan, like Rabbeinu Ephraim, except for by Basa B'chalav, so it's irrelevant. Or you say, only on a whole Chaticha, not a Mixas Chaticha. Or the answer Tosis prefers is that the Isser that's Nesar in Chanan cannot Aser further than the original Isser could go. Okay. Fine. Next. How are you mevatel? So firstly, im yesh babano sein tam harei zasur. We're back to the Mishnah. So how do you evaluate this? Ketza misharen oso kibasar belefes. So Rashi says, it's halacha l'moshu misinai, because all shirim halacha l'moshu misinai, that's actually a Gemara to Erevin and Sukkah. This happens not to be one of the shirim that are mentioned there, but the Gemara says, shiurin chatzitzin umachitzin halacha l'moshu misinai. And what are the shiurim? They're from last week's parasha. Eretz Chita Osara Gefen Osara Rimon Eretz Zeshemen Udvash. Namely, all these things, Kol HaPasach HaZeh Lo Nemer Ela L'Shiurim. Kizayis, well, they say Chita, what is Chita relevant for? It's some din in Saras. Sora, Eten Kisaora, a bone from a person that's the size of a barley corn, is Metame B'magam Masa, etc., etc., etc. It's all Asmachta. Shiurim are assumed to be Halach L'Moshe Misidai, but they are so mehod not Pasach. Chatzitzin, the rules of Chatzitza by Tfilah, Allah L'Moshe Misinai, and the rules of Mechitza, Allah L'Moshe Misinai. What are the rules of Mechitza? Good, Lavud, and Dofen Akuma. So you learn Sukkah, you might know those dinim. Not our issue right now. So Rashi says, all Shirim are Allah L'Moshe Misinai, including Kibasar Belefes. Okay, which is very odd because, what's very odd about this? What does it mean, Halach L'Moshe Misinai, Kibasar Belefes? Halach L'Moshe Misinai tells us that the way you're Mishari Gid Anasha is by comparing it to if you put meat into a stew of turnips, could you taste it or not? Why do you need Halach L'Moshe Misinai? Just taste it. Zach?
The term opposed to any other food.
What?
The term opposed to any other food.
I know, but it's not... That's the Basar B'lefes. Look, ultimately, what is the Gemara going to say, Rava going to say about Nosein? How do you determine Nosein Tam? Kvela. Ask the kvela to taste it. Presumably, and one of the Rishonim says is basar belefes is only when you don't have a kvela. Right? If you can't access kvela, you want to figure out whether or not you're going to be able to taste the gedanasha. Check basar belefes. So I'm not going to. But then that's what Rashi calls halach l'moshe misinai. Right? All other isurim will say shishim. Okay, fine. And here's an important question that Tosus grapples with very, very briefly. What joins together to be mevatel the tam of the gid? Again, we're working within the Mishnah. The Mishnah of the gid has flavor.
what joins together to be mevatel? What can you include to be mevatel v'tamagid? What does the Mishnah say?
Yerech.
That's what it sounds like. So Tosa says, what about the soup, the stew that the yerech happens to be in? Doesn't all the other stuff in the pot? What you just cooked the hindquarters with nothing else? Now the answer might be maybe yes, but certainly liquid comes out. So Tosa, now why is Tosas discussed this issue? Because there's a big machlokas Rashi and Tosas. We'll learn in Simon Kopei, it's mentioned elsewhere, as to the following. How does flavor transfer? When I have, let's say, a piece of meat, and milk falls onto that piece of meat, but the meat is in a stew. So when the meat is in a stew, there are two ways the meat could be in a stew. I mean, three ways. It could be completely submerged, but if it's completely submerged, the milk can't fall onto it. It can fall into the soup, into the liquid. But assuming that the meat is not completely submerged, there are two ways the meat could be. It could be partially submerged, or it could be not submerged at all. It could be sitting on top of another piece of meat with no real liquid accumulation in between. Rashi, now the Gemara later is going to say that if a drop of milk, it's a Mishnah, but the way the Gemara reads it, if a drop of milk falls into the pot of meat, onto one piece, if you immediately stir the pot, or if you cover the pot so the lid encloses the steam, and that spreads the time around. Now that's both a kula and a chumra. Why is it a kula? It's a kula because if that one piece of chaticha did not have enough to be in the bath of the milk, but the entire pot does, then we assume that before anything becomes usur, the flavor diffuses throughout the pot, and it could be bata b'shisha. The chumra, of course, is if you don't have shisha in the pot, so if you hadn't covered the pot or you hadn't stirred it up, so maybe the milk would be limited to that one piece of meat. You would take that piece of meat and throw it away. So it's both a kula and a chumra. Rashi claims that if a chaticha is partially in the liquid and partially out, and it falls on the part outside the liquid, it doesn't diffuse throughout the entire pot. It stays within that piece of meat. Tosus says no. The only way it stays within that piece of meat is if that piece of meat is not even is not a submarine at all. It has to be completely above the liquid line, on top of another piece. Then it stays within that chaticha. But Tosus says if the chaticha is miktsaso berotev, miktsaso chutz lerotev, and the milk falls onto that, so Tosa says you don't have to cover the pot or stir it; it will diffuse on its own automatically. That's going to be a basic issue. I don't want to call that halachic thermodynamics. That's still, I think, in the category of flavor chemistry. We also have an area called halachic thermodynamics, which comes up in Kofei. If any of you are familiar with the terms ila'a gavar and tata'a gavar, when you have one thing on top of the other and one's hot and one's cold, which sets the temperature in terms of exchange of flavors? That's rabbinic thermodynamics. That's the first law of rabbinic thermodynamics. Okay. Fine. So that's Tosas Dibur Maskel Im Yesh Bab and Osein Tam. So I'm not going to go how Tosas deals with the Mishnah, but the Mishnah reads more easily like Rashi, right? The Yerech presumably is not sitting submerged in a stew, but part of it might be, and the Mishnah doesn't mention the Rotev. Okay, there you can get around that question, but that was what Tosas talks about. So now the Mishnah says, Gid Hanosha. So we discussed this already. You all understand this. There are two separate taruvos going on here. One's a taruvos of Yavesh B'Yavesh. That's the gid amongst the gidin. And then there's the taruvos of Lach B'Lach, the flavor of the gid and everything else in the pot. So even if you have shishim in the rest of the pot, unless you recognize the gid is not going to be batel. The Gemara will say the reason why the gid is not batel is because? Beria. And then the Mishnah continues in the same vein. V'chein chaticha shel nevela, v'chein chaticha shel dagtame, shenispashel machatichas, bezman shemakirim ben osentam, v'imlav, kulan asuros, v'arota ben osentam, the exact same thing. And the reason why the chatichas dagtame and the chatichas nevela are not betelos are, the reason is, why don't you say it's bata yavesh b'yavesh chad betray? Not a trick question. This is all last week. What does the Gemara say on Kuf? Why is the chatichas nevela not betela? Somebody else is going to answer the question from Seidel. Why is the chaticha not betela? I understand. You need shishim in the rotev and the other chatichos on the vatal the tam and the chatichos nevela. But now, so you can eat the soup, but I don't recognize which is the chatichos nevela. Why can I eat all the chatichos? Follow a rov, chad betray yavish. See, we spend so much time working on what? Rizkabe. We spend so much time working on yavish b'yavish in rizkabe, and we got so into it, you forget what the original context of the Gemara is. Right, the Gemara said, Chatichas Rias Kabet is not Petela. That's Chatichas Dag, Tame, and Chatichas Nevela. And the first, and the Gidanosha is Beria. Fine. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Omar Shmuel, Loshanu Eleshin Ispashobo. Loshanu, I'll say this once. What does the term Loshanu mean? It's a technical term. What does Loshanu always mean? It's a limitation or qualification of the Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah said X, that was only taught with respect to. So Lo Shanu, they only taught the Mishnah, and what Mishnah? That Yerush Nisbasha Bagid, Im Yesh Babino Sein Tam Harezo Asura, Lo Shanu Elish Nisbasha Ba, Aval Nitzlaba, Kolei Fi Ochal Ad Shemagia Lagid. If you roasted it, that's only if you cooked it. Cooking it means there's a liquid in the pot. If you roast it over the fire, then you, what does Kolei Fi Ochal Ad Shemagia Lagid mean? You peel it. Oh, I've actually got some. You peel it. You keep peeling it. Eat. You peel off. You know, it's like you, some people will, I don't know, what do they peel? They take a peel. What do the people peel and they stick a bite in their mouth? Peeling. Something. What's all right? They use a knife to kind of scrape a, I don't know, whatever the food is. So that, what's that?
Artichoke?
I don't know. No. Artichoke, you got to pull the leaf off and eat that one little part. That's so worthless. I don't know what anybody's talking
about.
I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you do, that you're kolei ochel, and how far, what do you have to leave on the gid? So Tosa says, could they, forget it, I'm sorry, I shouldn't distract with that. What does Tosa say? Eli, I think you saw Tosa's, and someone else may have also seen it. What do you have to leave on the gid when you eat? Can you eat all the way down to the gid and leave nothing but gid? So Tosa says, either could they klipa or could they netila. Note, by the way, if you read Rashi carefully, and the Rambam as well, it sounds like he did everything except for good. Now, I want to step back for 1 second here. Something I wanted to talk about where Tosos talks about, what does the Mishnah say you have to be mevatel? The assumption is the gid. So Tosos asks a question here. How did you cook this gid, Hanasha? Okay, I want a genius answer here. How did you cook the gid, Hanasha? In a pot. You turn the fire underneath your pot, and you okay, so remember they didn't turn on fires, they had to light them. It's a much more tedious task. You have a fire under your pot, you put the pot on with the gid, Hanasha, and fine. What did you do to the gid hanasha, the yerech? What did you do to the yerech before you put it in the pot? Other than severing it from the animal? You didn't remove the gid hanasha. Did you do anything else to it?
Salted.
You might have salted it. Ah, but here's the catch. If you salted it, what happens when you salt the gid hanasha with the yerech with the gid hanasha in it? What? It should aser at least kedei klipa around the gid. Right? If malicha, there's no davar shem in here, malicha asers kedei klipa. The way we're going to say, by the way, in principle halacha lemaisa, except for Ashkenazim or crazy Machmir because of Davar Shamein, is that salting asers kedei klipa, roasting together asers kedei netila, and cooking together asers or spreads kula. That's a rule of thumb. You can remember that. So Tosis asks, presumably you salted the yerech before you put, because you're a firm person, you forgot the gid, but at least you salted it. Everybody knows the blood. So you salted it, so it should aser kedei klipa around the gid, and you should nitshishim Keneged the gid and its klipa. Now, if you hold that you don't say chatichanasis devela except for by basa b'chalav, that's not a problem. There is another terah. So you could just say the Mishnah says im yeshba benosei tam yeshba ubiklipasa. The Rashba quotes a different answer. The Rashba says it depends on what malicha is defined as malicha keroteach. It's going to be a whole discussion tomorrow later. And there is a shita that says that one shita that says that if you maleach kedera shemochen oso lekedera, that's not called maliach. In order to be maliach, according to one shita, it has to be eno necho mechamas milcho, inedible because it is so salty. The way Rashi says you would salt something to preserve it for a long journey. So less than that is not considered keroteach. So if that's your shita and what's considered maliach keroteach, you don't have a problem because nobody salts the yerech for the pot in a manner that you're basically preserving it, you know, for a long journey. Anyway, so be aware, you could ask that question, what did you do in order to prepare the meat? After all, doesn't salting create a problem? So Tosus deals with that. Now, what if you're roasting it? Do you have to salt meat before you roast it?
No.
Then do you not? Why don't you need to salt it before you roast it? They used to salt it a little bit. Why? No. That's not why. Why don't you have to salt it before you roast it? Because the fire draws it out. Now, I'll just tell you a little bittul zman here. It's totally Torah. Some of you know the chumrah not to eat basar kafu. You know what I'm talking about even? Maybe it's not a thing anymore in Israel, but the way they get the meat from Argentina is they have to freeze it. The problem is they didn't in the past, I assume it hasn't changed, they don't want to salt it before they freeze it. They want to salt it afterwards. But it's the chumrah of the gonim that you can't salt meat more than 72 hours after the shechita. It won't get all the blood out. Now, some say that freezing freezes the clock. I know if the Aruch Shulchan says it's not an issue. When I asked Rav Shechter, he thought I didn't think it was a big deal. But if you're machmir on basar kafu, So it becomes a problem eating the meat in Israel, because then when you bring it to Israel, after they defrost it, you can't salt it and get all the blood out. Now, there is a simple solution, but it limits you, which is, as long as you eat the meat roasted, it's fine. I'm going to ask you a different question. If I take a piece of meat from an animal, I just shechted it, it's raw, I cut off the meat, I rinse it off, and there's nothing on the surface, am I allowed to eat it without salting it? The answer is yes. Dam evarim, I'll call that blood, muscle blood. Dam evarim is only usser once it separates from the meat. The problem with bishul is that when you cook meat that's not salted in a pot, what happens to the blood? It comes out. Then what happens? Goes back in. That's why it's usser. But theoretically, in fact, there's a. I think the Gemara in Beitzah says that if a person wants to know what Eivar Menachai tastes like, you should shecht an animal and you cut off a kezayis basa mibes hashchita, something like that. I don't even know if salting is mentioned. You don't alpidin. You don't have to salt it. On that, you have to rinse it off, because if the blood's on the surface, you have to rinse it off. But understand that salting's only needed on meat because you're going to cook it in a pot, and the blood's going to come out and the blood's going to go back in. Incidentally, as an aside, it's a major machlokes harishonim. All Chachmei Ashkenaz hold that dam shebishlo and dam shemilcho is only asim at the Rabbanon. There's a Gemara Menachos that says that explicitly. If you cook blood or you salt blood, it's only the Rabbanon. The Raman Paskins, it's the Raisa. It's not clear what he does with that Gemara Menachos. Okay. So anyway, all right. Yes, Avram.
Wait, so then if you grill meat on a barbecue, that's not in a pot, so then you wouldn't need
it. Alpidin, you don't need to salt it before. It's irrelevant because you're going to buy your meat from the store where they've salted it already. But yes, alpidin, you don't need to. What? I don't think so, because we say that blood is drawn by the fire. It's Mishrak Sharik. So I don't think... otherwise, you wouldn't be able to, let's say, use the same liver pan over and over. Right?
Right. That would be the same problem. So as long as it doesn't pool in it and just drips down to fire, we're not concerned. Blood, we're not concerned about. Okay. Fine. So Shmuel said, Lo shana lo shel espashaba avanitzaba kol efe ochat shemage legid. Ini. Is that true? V'amar Rav Huna gedishet slo b'chelbo asur lechol afila meirosh asno. So that's the story. Rav Huna said, if you cook a kid and you didn't remove the chaylev, you can't even eat from the cartilage of the ear. Why does he say the cartilage of the ear? Either because the assumption is it's the furthest point away from the fat, it gets even there, or perhaps because the cartilage of the ear is almost inedible, meaning it's not going to be soft, it's not going to be juicy. Still, we're afraid of time of the chaylev and the cartilage of the ear. So the Gemara answers, Shani chaylev de mefapea. No, it's different when you deal with the iso chaylev, because chaylev is mefapea. It diffuses, it bubbles throughout more than regular non-fatty things. So now the Gemara says, Va'ama rabba barchana uvda hava kameh de Rabbi Yochanan beknishta de ma'on. There's a story that happened in the Knishtra de Ma'on, in the community of Ma'on. They roasted a gdi bechelbo. They asked Rabbi Yochanan Shaili, said, just like the gid. So does he disagree with Shmuel? So the Gemara is going to give three answers. The one that's most relevant to us is, Hahu kachosh hava. No, it was a scrawny little gdi. A little scrawny gedi. So what does that mean that it's chaylev kachosh? So here Tosus quotes two deyas. One deya is that there isn't shishim, that there's shishim in the fat of a scrawny gedi. There's so little fat that the shishim to be mevatel. That of course assumes that shishim is mevatel. Even in a big gedi, it's just if you have to have shishim. Typically, a healthy gezunta zafte gedi doesn't have shishim keneged the chaylev. Whereas a scrawny gedi has shishim keneged the chaylev. The other Teres Tosfos quotes is that the fat of a scrawny gedi doesn't have the character of being mefapea. Now, what's the nafkamina between these two? So, one nafkamina would be is that in the scrawny gedi the shishim keneged the chaylev. So one nafkamina would be, it cuts both ways. According to the first Teres, even in a big and a healthy gedi, in a fat gedi, if you have to have shishim, it would be batel. According to the second teretz, you might hold that it's not batel, because you might say, like the ra'ah and the ran, that the chaylev diffuses, but not evenly, so you're going to get patches here, patches there, it won't be batel by diffusion throughout the entire thing. The more obvious, clear nafkamina is that according to the first teretz, if you have a gedi kachosh, but you don't have shishim, can I get the fat in that particular gedi? It's aser. According to the second teretz, even if you don't have anywhere near shishim in the gedi kachosh keneged the fat, it's still mutter because it's like get an usha. Chelav of a kachosh animal does not diffuse. CJ?
According to the first tariff, what's the chiddush the Gemara saying that you know you eat by from the year?
So you could eat the gdi. The first teretz is just pointing out when you read the Shmuel's Rav Huna statement. So the initial assumption was this is always the case, and yet we have a story where it wasn't the case. And the Gemara says no. That in other words, Rav Huna doesn't talk about what kind of gdi. He just says gdi you can't eat for any part of it because the chela diffuses. Rav Huna was assuming, according to the first teretz and Tosfos, that that's because there's no shishin. When the Gemara comes along and asks the question, it then occurred to the Gemara that there are some Gedai in which you will have Shishin. So the Gemara's teretz says, oh, no, by the way, it's telling you, in effect, the Metzias almost, that in the Gedi Kachosh, you'll have Shishin Kenega Dechela. Which, by the way, is from a biological, physiological perspective, is probably true. Because when a person, if you want to lose weight, what you do is you go hike the Appalachian Trail. Because at a certain point, you're not taking in enough calories, and your body has only one choice. It's to burn your fat reserves. At some point, you can't do that anymore. That's a problem. But the point is, a gedi doesn't have to hike the Appalachian Trail. If its owner doesn't feed it enough, the gedi will just lose weight. And what eventually starts to burn off the gedi? And the answer is the fat goes. You won't have, once the gedi is really scrawny, you're just not going to have 1/60.
But if it's about shishim, if the Gemara is making some sort of chiddush by telling you that you can't even eat the ear, then shishim doesn't matter at all.
Shishim doesn't. The assumption of this teretz and thesis of how to read the Rav Huna statement is that chelav is mefapea throughout the entire animal, even the farthest place away, even to the edge of the ear. Now he happens to be talking about a case where you don't have shishim to about the chelav. That the Gemara only clarifies, according to Tosfos' first answer, when they pose the stiyah Rabbi Yochanan and give the answer Gedi Kachoshav. But within Rav Huna's self statement, assuming you don't have shishim, he's telling you that chelav, you don't say it goes 5 inches all around where the chelav was originally. It goes everywhere, even to the Gedi's tippy toes. That's what we would say. Maybe I know what we would say. Okay, whatever. But yeah, is that you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
Ellie?
So the Ra'ah here has to hold like Rabbeinu Tam's explanation. He can't use it for the shishim because...
Correct, because he holds that shishim doesn't help you when it's a gedi shami. Okay. Fine. So then the Gemara says the goes to the teirutzim. Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar koya bechel bahava visharya ravin bar visharya. He says that it was a kidney which still had the fat on top of it. Right, but there is apparently a membrane between the fat and the kidneys, and what he's saying is that the fat cannot penetrate the membrane. Some had a chumrah, Tosfos mentions, to take a little bit under the membrane, but really, Rav Huna would say that the fat cannot permeate the membrane. The membrane prevents it from going through. That's what membranes tend to do, and therefore, that's where Rav Huna was permitted. And then there's a third teretz, Ravin. Barav Ada Amar Kilchis Beilfas Havav Asur Shailu Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Litamek Feilarama. It was some type of a non-kosher fish that got mixed in the pot, and Rabbi Yochanan, it seems that he permitted it because he told them, go have a non-Jewish kfeila tasting. Okay, so a very, very brief word on kfeila. What is a kfeila? So Rashi says, Nachtom, which it doesn't mean, I know we translate baker, typically, at least when they're Mishnayis, because it comes up by challah, which is a baker, but a nachtom is a professional food preparer. So it can be a baker, it can be a cook. They're all considered a nachtom. Okay. So Rashi says that with regards to this nachtom, he says, nachtom ovi kochatim, va'ashmi'inan demutar lismoch alav lafitumo, v'lo yodi'u shetzrichem lo dvar isa v'heder. Now that the Gemara doesn't actually say, but Rashi fills in, that how do you ask the guy? You can't ask him whether he tastes this. If he knows why you're asking him, it's aser, because he has no nemanus. What do you need to do? It has to be mesiach lefitumo. Mesiach lefitumo, and we know this is generally true, unless a person is deep, deep, deep down, a completely pathological liar where they don't even know that they're lying. When they know sometimes people lie so much they start to believe their lies. But most people, when they lie, they're conscious about their lying. When they're engaged in conversation off the record, right? Not off the record, but just you know, the derech agav, or they're just talking to themselves, we don't assume that people lie, right? Therefore, if a goy happens to be talking to his friend, and there's no relevance, and he said, oh yeah, I was, it was pretty cool, I was at the game, and you know, happened to see that so-and-so like keeled over and dropped dead, okay, you know, that the Joe Goldberg, and now an aide hears this, or two aidim hear this, either way, and Joe Goldberg disappeared, his body couldn't be found, and his wife wants to remarry, so we by Eidus Isha, a goy is nema meseach lefitumo. If the goy comes in and knows that he's telling us that Joe Goldberg died so that Joe Goldberg's wife, Mrs. Goldberg, can remarry, we don't accept his testimony. So that's what's called meseach lefitumo. He's just talking, you know, to me, mystic. He doesn't, there's no guile involved that you think that he might have a reason to tell a lie. Now, of course, if he said, Joe Goldberg said something nice to me, I beat the heck out of him, I put him in his place, so then it could be he's meshaker because he wants to show to his friend that he's lying, but he's bragging about something he didn't do. But if he just mentions there, there's no reason to think he's lying. He doesn't know that it's serving as the base of heter, so then it's mutter. Yes?
Should we be koshesh at least for people going around this? Like, maybe be, oh yeah, kind of meseach lefitumo, and then like it's not, and they know, and then they want to help their friend out, they're not, he wants to help their friend out.
But that's the why. He can't know why you're asking.
Right, that's the thing, and then they'll blur the lines.
No, but if he doesn't know why you're asking, he doesn't know how to, you know, if you say to the guy the following, I'm curious to see, what do you taste in this? He has no idea why you're asking. So he's going to try his best to identify the taste. And if you tell him that some pork fell in, and if I can taste it, then I'm not going to be able to pack, but I'm not allowed to try. Can you taste it for me? Then I agree, that's not meseach lefituma. Meseach lefituma means he has no idea, either. Even if you, the question of how much you can prompt him is a question, but he has no idea what the relevance is. So there's no reason for him to lie. Okay, that's always the case. So the truth is Ashkenazim don't rely upon kfeil at all. But Rashi Shita is that you ask, it sounds like you ask a professional. He's not explicit that it has to be a professional. You ask a professional, and you don't tell him why, it has to be a fleitumo. So Rashi may be holding that in order to be mam and agoy, he has to be a kfeila and he has to be meseach lefitumo. Tosis disagrees. Tosis says no. Tosis and Rashba really assume that since he's a kfeila, it might even be better if he knows why you're asking him. Since he's a kfeila, he's not going to lie. You know why he's not going to lie about the food tasting? Because it undermines his professional reputation. Right? Uman, the expression is uman lo meira umanase. And uman does not undermine his nemanus in his profession. And therefore, the way they say is that, look, if it's a Joe Goy off the street who has no profession, he has to be meseach lefitumo. Because maybe he'll lie to you, and it's not going to affect him, his professional reputation. But if the guy is a professional, Joe Baker, kfeila guy, so then you can ask him why you're asking. Should you can tell him why you're asking. Yeah.
We still rely on people with professional that can really distinctly taste different things.
What? Say that again?
Should we really more rely on people who are professional? Like,
so that's a machlokas harishonim as well. Whether or not
like if you just take some random person, they won't like know exactly.
So can someone give the proof of the Rashba that Shui is wrong? Your position exists in the Rishonim, by the way. And I have to say, I'm a big talker, but recently we have acquired a sous vide machine. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Sous vide cooking is unbelievable. You want to make meat and you want it to come out perfect? I kind of knew this already, but only in the last couple of years have people brought me the Shiloh such a machine. You want meat made whatever way you like it. I mean, the way red meat is supposed to be eaten is close to raw, okay? But not overcooked. But whatever your preference is, you set the machine. First you warm the water to the exact temperature of the machine. You put the meat inside the sous vide bag. You submerge it. You know how many minutes you put. It's unbelievable. Okay. Now the shayla that was brought to me was: do you need milchiks and fleishiks separate ones? Now we will. It's going to be a while till we get to it. It actually happens to be in Hilchos Basar B'Challah, but it's Tarova's question of something called nat bar nat. We'll discuss all the details then. The pashtus is it's mutter if there's no leakage. But the first time my wife made this up, I said, okay, well, she may be. She has two separate ones. I don't even know if we have one for milchiks. I don't think we made anything milchiks in it, but maybe we do. I don't know. Anyway, so I said, can you hang on to the water afterwards? I want to taste it. Now, normally, what we're going to talk about whether we rely, I think I've told you, we don't normally rely upon Timas Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch allows it, but the Shach says we don't do it. But I was just curious from a Matthias perspective, not my thing, there was no Shaila in my thing. I want to know whether the taste comes out. So I tasted the water. And you know what I decided after I tasted the water? I don't know how to taste things. I really have no idea what I'd be tasting. For a moment, I had to, and I realized maybe I really would want to get a chef to taste this. That was my reaction doing it. Because here again, it wasn't halachah l'maaseh, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's my chance. It's completely mutar. It's not even for halachic purposes. The shach would agree. It's perfectly fine. I want to know in general, not my taste, do you taste it? Does it leak through? And then I tasted the water. I said, I wouldn't know what it would taste like. If it was a strong flavor, I know I would taste it. But I'm thinking to myself, I actually don't know. So, again, there is a raya against you. It's a good raya. But the issue will, you know, I actually am very sympathetic to that position. And again, the truth is, I will tell you, I do not have the most discerning palate. I'm not the person you want to be used as your taster. Do you taste the flavor of something in this? I'm the wrong person to ask. So it might be that one of you would actually feel much more comfortable than the water you say, I do taste it, I don't taste it. So I may be speaking to my own limitations, but I've been very reluctant. And not because I tasted it or because I didn't taste it. I'd like to say, okay, do I really know what it would taste like? A professional does this for a living, is always becomes more sensitive to it. So, okay, yes, Ellie.
What level of taste are you looking for here? Meaning, if it's not a taste that most people can pick up on, is that what's absurd in terms of no taste? Or are we looking for something that's more?
So I don't. So in a certain sense, that may be the machlokas harishon. So what's the raya? What's the raya that you don't need a kfela? It's from the next gemara. So let's look at the next gemara. Amar Rava, may reish hava kalkashali. Rava said originally I didn't understand. Haditanya kadeira shabisha babasalay vashabachalam, vim bisho beno saintam, trumalay vashabachulam vim bisho beno saintam. Bishlama, I understand how you know if a pot is going to flavor your food with truma. Bishlama truma ta'im le kohen, you can cook the food, some food, and give it to kohen to taste. Ella basabachalam ban ta'im le, but how you do basabachalam? Because nobody's allowed to eat it. You can, just like in Rabbi Yochanan said you can do it, we can do the very same thing. Now, who tastes the truma, shall we? Does it say Kohen Kfela? Jared, are you a Kfela?
No.
Just a Kohen?
Yes.
But the question is, the time of the Kohen. Doesn't say anything about a Kfela. So, some Rishonim say, by the way, of course it's not a Kfela. You know why it's called a Kfela? Because that's what a kfela does professionally. So when you ask a guy to taste something for you where there's a fat there, he becomes a kfela right then, because that's what kfelas do. We might say, for those of you who know the expression, kfela ben yoma or kori kfela. All right? Or as you say, barbe rav b'chad yoma is called the barbe rav. It's a very important gemara. But the guy who comes to the base medrash just one day, he's a member of the base medrash. It was a different context. It was he travels so far and he only is there for one day of the session. He's a barbe rav also. Barbe rav b'chad yoma. So anyway, I'll just mention to you that there are actually probably at least four shifas in Rishonim about kfela. The Rambam seems to hold that you don't need a kfela, and he doesn't have to be mesiach lefituma. The Rashba and Tosos assume that you need either kfela or mesiach lefituma. Rashi says everybody needs mesiach lefituma, and then I think and it has to be a kfela, and then I think the Rosh Hashita may be. I forget which one. The Rush holds you need one, but he doesn't. I think the Rush holds he has to be Mesech Lefitumo, but he doesn't necessarily require a Kfela. We'll see. That's the first thing that the tour and the Beis Yosef deal with on this particular issue. Just a couple of points to be aware of. We're going to see this with the Shulchan Aruch. Ashkenazim do not rely upon Kfela. Sfaradim might. I mean, the Mechaber holds you can, and in practice, we do. Even though we don't rely upon Kfela, Te'imas Yisrael should work. Right? Kfela we don't rely upon, but a Jew tasting it where it's heter. Or let's say you want to know whether it tastes milchuk. Right? This is a very common case. I cooked pasta in a pot that was milchuk's. Let's say it was a ben yomo pot, and I can't eat it with fleishik, so we're going to learn that sugya. But let's say I taste it and there's no meat flavor in it. No milk flavor in it. So does that work or not? So I'll pidina the gemara, I'll psak the mechab the ramah, timas yisrael works. But the shach quotes achron said we don't like to do it. We don't say timah, at least achat chila. Okay. One other last point. This is only for really advanced Eon. We're not going to discuss it. Very important shach. The shach asks, how can we rely upon Mesiach Lefituma by an Issa Daraisa? When it sounds from the Gemara, the only Issa Daraisa you're ever allowed to rely upon Mesiach Lefituma by a Goy is by Eidus Isha. It's a special kul of Chachamim. So the shach, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes several different answers. One of them is that there's no Cheskas Issa to start with here. The only time we say that Mesiach Lefituma of a Goy is not Neman by Din and Daraisa is when there's a cheskas iser. Okay, anyway, he quotes a couple of other tables. Fine. Okay, just a little further. So now Rava says the following. Oh, Rava says, the Amar Rava, bottom line on Tzadi Zayin Amal Aleph. Amar Rabbanim Etayim Ava, Amar Rabbanim Ekfei Lava, Amar Rabbanim Eshishim. This is the opening line of the Torah in the Siman we're going to do. Siman Tzadichas, our next Siman. Hilkach, min b'she'eno mino dehetera. That's the first category, b'tayma. Eating of a Judah taste. De'isura. B'kfeila. You give it to a kfeila to taste. U'min b'mino. But if it's min b'mino, the lekem l'mekem a'tayma. If it's min b'mino, who are you going to give it to taste? Nobody can taste it. It doesn't taste any different. Or, oh, the lekem kfeila. Or if you just don't have a kfeila handy. You know, when we moved into Teaneck on my block, whenever we needed it, I think I would be awkward, feel awkward asking, but we could have had plenty of people to be a Shabbos guy. I had one neighbor until a few years ago who wasn't Jewish, person two doors up, probably a good portion of the block wasn't Jewish. Now I don't, there's one person I know of on the block who's not Jewish, so it's hard to find the Shabbos guy. In Eretz Yisrael, it's really, what? What's that? For now. Wait 10 years, okay? Wait 10 years and we'll be officially segregated. You know, Teaneck was the first town, I think, in New Jersey to desegregate the schools, right? And now we're moving towards segregation, not legally speaking, not because people's keeping anybody out. So let's say you're now on my block and you don't have a kfeila. You can't find the kfeila RMO at the taste. In that case, you rely upon shishim. Okay, so this is really central principle. Note, by the way, what is Rava's position here about mitul bitul min bimino? Is bimino batel or not, according to Rava? What do you see derech aga from Rava's statement regarding the machlokas Rav Yehuda against the Chachamim and Rav and Shmuel against Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether min bimino is ever batel? Right? What's that? You see that it is, because he says, min bimino, or if you don't have a kfeila, shishim. So you see, that's why this long posos is here, on my Rava. Because Rava said, and Rava is later than Rav and Shmuel say, like Rabbi Yehuda, it's asr. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say, like the Chacham batel b'shishim. And Tosos is here because Rava, who's a Basroi, assumes that min bimino is batel b'shishim. Right? This is one of his rais against Rashi. Okay, and then finally, very quickly, the Gemara tells a story. I think we've discussed this a little bit. Hanu atma hasa, these hindquarters, the imlechu be reish galusa, begidanasha, and they were handled in the reish galuska's kitchen with the, they were salted with the gidanasha, and they weren't cooked. Remember that the exilarchs guys, many of them weren't Jewish and many of them were thugs. You don't want to get, there's a lot of thuggery in the reish galusa's household. They didn't always like the rabbi so much. His kitchen staff and various other kinds of staff. So anyway, they messed this up. They salted them with the Giran Asher Salin. Ravina Aser and Ravacha Bar Rav Shari. Ravina Aser the entire Gid and Ravacha Bar Rav but permitted. Now note, by the way, the pshat is, what did he permit? What did he require you to do to the Gid? Nothing. Tosis is going to say, but Kidei Klipa. Right? It doesn't say that in the Gemara. It just says they salted it. Doesn't say require Klipa. And Ravashi Aser the entire thing. So Asu Shaylu Alamar Baravashi, they came and asked Baravashi, Amalhu Abashari, my father permitted this such a case. Amar Le Ravacha Bra Rav Ravina, he asked Ravina, my daitech, what are you thinking? You're thinking Amar Shmuel Maliach Hareo Kiroteach and Kavash Hareo Kimavushal? You want to say, like Shmuel, that Maliach, when you salt it, it's like Roteach, it's like it's boiling. Forget the Kavash Kimavushal part for a moment. And therefore, the Maliach asks like Roteach, it asks the entire thing. But Va'amar Shmuel lo shenu el shenis bashaba, aval nitzla ba kol evochot shemagia lagid. When Shmuel said that Tzli, Roteach, only asks, doesn't ask anything really, only asks up until, you eat up until the thing. V'chitema mai kiroteach, when you say Maliach kiroteach, maybe to ka'amar kiroteach to ka'amar kiroteach de mavushal can't be. Vahami de ka'amar kavashare kamushal mechlal de roteach de tzli ka'amar. And therefore, kasha. It's a kasha against Ravina. Ravina's wrong. We paskin that malicha asers kadei klipa doesn't aser kula. That is the maskana of the Gemara. Okay. Are there any questions up until this point? We got in a lot, but I think we got in everything I wanted to get in. So I will stop here.